First Thessalonians. I've enjoyed the week. I have thoroughly enjoyed the preaching thus far this week. And I hope that you have. If you hadn't been here, I encourage you to get CDs and get in on what God's been doing around New Hope Baptist Church this week. I appreciate Brother Cody coming. And do just remind you to pray for him. If you got your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians, look in chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want to read one verse of Scripture tonight, give you what the Lord put on my heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 in verse number 13. The Bible said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I want you to notice in the middle part of that verse, he talked about how that when they heard us, he said, "You've received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Amen. The reception of the word of God. That's what I want to preach on for a few moments tonight. The reception of the word of God. Will you bow with me and pray? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that God, you'd help us tonight. I pray as we look into your word, I pray God, you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help us to receive what you have for us and to respond appropriately and correctly. God, as you deal with us and as you do not only tonight, but in the days and months and weeks and years to come, should you tarry, Lord, I pray that God, you'd help us to be obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us tonight. May you be pleased in all that's said and done. We'll thank you for everything. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I'm going to ask you this question. What are you doing with what's being delivered? What are you doing with what's being delivered? Could you imagine sitting in a nice fancy steakhouse, maybe a nice restaurant, and as you're sitting there at the table, your waiter begins to come, and he comes to your table, and he has a big old 22-ounce bone-in ribeye. I'm talking about still sizzling on the plate. And he has it in his hands, and he says, "Sir, ma'am, I have your steak." Maybe you don't like steak. Maybe he has a nice tender breast of chicken cooked just to perfection. Juices running out of it. Steam coming off of it. The scent, the aroma. And your waiter says, your server says, "I have your order. Here I am." Maybe they come in there and they've got some nice whipped up, nice fluffy mashed potatoes with butter and salt and pepper. I'm talking about butter that's just drooling down the sides. And he has, "I have your mashed potatoes, and then I have your green beans." And I'm not talking about them plastic-looking green beans that ain't never been cooked that nobody could stand to eat. I'm talking about them real country green beans like Grandma used to fix. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody, no, if your grandma didn't fix green beans, just smack yourself because you have been insulted. Amen? I'm talking about green beans that's got grease in them and salt and pepper and tastes like something. Amen? Not like a piece of plastic. And then he sets all that at the table, and a little bit later he comes and he says, I have your apple pie. And it's not that Yankee apple pie without any seasoning in it. It's talking about real apple pie with spice in it. Amen?
Amen.
Got vanilla ice cream scooped on top, and I'm talking about enough ice cream that you can have a bite of ice cream with every piece of pie. I'm about to dismiss and go home, amen? I'm getting hungry. Watch this. I'm talking about apple pie. It's got that sugar on top. I like it when it's got that sugar coating on top. Amen. Brother Robbie's over here. We're bearing witness. Amen. I come over here where somebody likes it. And it's apple pie with cinnamon and nutmeg and vanilla and then the sugar on top. And then the vanilla ice cream. And it just looks like an ice cream just running all over that apple pie. And could you imagine as your server has said all that, maybe he, in the midst of that, he sets you some big old homemade yeast rolls. If you can't shout on apple pie and steak, you ought to be able to get a hold of some yeast rolls, amen?
Amen.
I'm talking about big fluffy yeast rolls, hot and steamy, and put the butter on it, and it just rolls off. And he sets all that on the table. Could you imagine sitting at the table, and your server brings all that, sets it on the table, and you say, "Well, it looks good. Smells good.
And your server comes back a little bit later and says, but sir, don't you want some of this? Would you not like to taste your steak? Would you not like to taste? I mean, put those green beans in your mouth. They taste as good as they look and smell, would you not? Well, I don't think that's for me. I think the people across the aisle might want them green beans. I think maybe somebody down the hallway might want that steak. I think my wife might want that apple pie. But I don't think that's for me. Or could you imagine it in this scenario that maybe you go to a buffet, maybe somewhere like years ago, Brother Jerry Sorrell took me, and we was down at the coast. And we was at the coast, and Brother Jeremy said, meet me down here at a restaurant. And we met him at whatever that restaurant was, and it seemed like it was a buffet from here to Winston-Salem. I'm talking about that thing was long, and on both sides there's food. And I couldn't get to it all I'm talking about scallops fresh out the kitchen and crab legs as hot as you wanted them. And that, you say, well, how many did you eat? I ate as many as I could fit in there. And when they got cold, I threw them away and got some more hot ones. And me and Brother Jeremy sit there and we ate. But could you imagine going to somewhere like that and you look at all that food? And I remember they had nanner pudding down there at the end, and they had that nanner pudding with meringue on top like I like. If you don't like that, don't go to heaven, because that's what we eat. Hey, I'm talking about nanner pudding, still warm with meringue on top. Amen. And I'm talking about, could you imagine going to a buffet and there's scallop potatoes and mashed potatoes and fried potatoes and all kinds of potatoes, and there's green beans and there's collard greens and there's broccoli and there's corn and there's all kinds of vegetables and salads and pastas. It's laid down through the aisle, and then you've got roasted chicken and baked chicken and fried chicken. It's hard to mess up chicken unless you're making a chicken salad. Amen. And it got all kinds of chicken. Maybe then you get down to the fish, and they got tilapia, and they got perch, and they got catfish, and they got a grouper. I don't have no idea what all that fish is even called. Amen. I just know it likes to swim, so I put it in the aquarium. Amen. And then you get down to the shrimp, and they got steamed shrimp, and they got fried shrimp, and they got, that's enough for me. I mean, I done got hungry talking about it. You got all that stuff, and it's like that brother Dwight's back there, his eyes done got big talking about it. Are y'all with me? Could you imagine walking into a buffet like that and just walking by and saying, looks good, smells good. Looking at over at nanner pudding, and you got drool coming down, and but you never reach out and scoop it up, throw it on the plate, take it to your table.
Well, now.
Wouldn't that be pointless? Would we not scratch our head and say, man, why don't you grab, man? Get in there, get in on the action, taste it. Taste and see, the Lord is good. What are you doing with what's being delivered? The church of Thessalonica, as Paul was writing to them, the church of Thessalonica, we know it as the model church. The church of Thessalonica was one that Paul had great rejoicing in. They had repented. They had believed on the Lord. They had turned from their idols to serve the living and true God. Back in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, you can see how they turned from their idols. They turned to God, and they turned to serve the true and the living God. He had rejoicing when he talked about them. And not only that, but they had become examples to others. In chapter 1, verse 7, he talked about they were examples to them around them and to others throughout the region. And he said, hey, listen, not only had they been saved, but they had become examples. There were patterns. There were people that could be looked up to, could be followed. How did they go from being idolaters that worshiped idols and false gods to not only being saved, but becoming examples, patterns that others could follow after? I'll tell you why. It was a result of their reception of the Word of God. They didn't just look at the food. They didn't just smell the food, but they learned to partake of the food. They learned to get what was given to them. They learned to make good of what they had been given. Ladies and gentlemen, God has given us a lot. Even just this week, we've heard some great preaching. Hey, but down through the years, sitting in a church like this, you hear the gospel preached. You hear preachers after preachers preach and preach and preach. And the question tonight is, what are we doing with what we are being delivered? What are we doing with God's Word? That's the question. We have the preserved, inspired, perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We have the perfect Word of God. We have the printed Word of God. We have the preached Word of God. You understand, there's people in parts of the world that don't have much preaching, if any preaching. They don't have the printed Word of God. They don't have it, but we have it here tonight. We've been blessed. God has been so good to us. We have the preserved. You have the King James Bible. You have the perfect Word of God that's been preserved in the English language for you to read and you to learn and for you to have tonight. And then not only that, but you've had teachers and preachers that have expounded and exposed the truths of God's Word and expounded upon them and explain them to you and give them to you, and you have it and we take it home. And many of us, if we're not careful, we use that Bible as a dust collector. We throw it up in the back of the car. We throw it up there until next Sunday. We throw it on the table at the house or in the corner, and then come Sunday morning, where's my Bible? Here's the question, what are we doing with what has been delivered? James said in James chapter number 1, verse 22 through 25, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I am afraid that we come to church and we pride ourselves, well, I heard a good message. I heard a good preacher. I heard. The question is not just did you hear, but what are you doing with what you've heard? But what are you? He said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man. What man? Not the man who looked, not the man who heard, but the man who looked and continued and not only heard, but he did what he heard. He said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What are we doing with what has been delivered? The Thessalonians had received the preached word. Look in our text, verse number 13. He said, because when ye had received the word of God, which ye heard of us. How did they hear it? They heard it when he preached it to them. They heard the preached word. And how did they hear it? They heard as it is in truth, the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day where many, and I mean many as in not a few, people that even sit in our churches week in and week out, they do not regard the Word as it is God's Word, and thus they are not receiving the Word as it is God's Word. And I remind you that we will never be blessed. We will never receive God's blessings. We will never receive what God wants to bestow upon us. We will never know the joys and the thrills of revival and the change that revival could bring without a proper reception of the Word of God. It's not good enough just to hear it. It's not good enough just to hear a preacher preach. It's not good enough just to hear someone talk about the Bible. But we must get in the Bible. Hey, continue in the Bible. And when it's preached to us as it is in truth, the Word of God, we must receive it as thus, and we must respond accordingly and do it. Continue in the Word of God. We're living in a day where men are accepted for their delivery and for their performance. And that brings about their popularity because they are great eloquent speakers. They have a lot of talent. Doesn't matter if they don't have the truth. And people are flocking to men based upon their delivery or their performance.
instead of receiving them and listening to them because of their doctrine and their purity of lifestyle, which results in the power of God. We're not to receive a man just because he's a man. I want to remind you tonight that the devil himself, Satan, knows how to transform his ministers into angels of light. It's not to be impressed if someone has a great oratory skills. I'm telling you tonight, a man can shout and holler and say all kinds of things, but if he's not real and if he's not walking with God, we better be careful. Have some discernment. Are you listening? We must be careful, but when we hear the Word of God and understand that the Word of God is funneled to us, is given to us through vessels. I want you to recognize a couple of things tonight and listen before I get in. I'll give you three things in a moment, but before I do, I want to give you a few things to think about. Number one, as we are hearing the Word of God week in and week out, as we listen to the preachers, as we hear the man of God preach, remember this. Remember the means God uses. God does use men. Man is merely a vessel. Me, myself, as a preacher, as a man of God that God has called in my own being, and I learned this early on in my ministry as God has called me, that in my own self, I am not smart enough to help you. The only thing that I can do is give you the Word of God. But man is a vessel. God didn't call cows to preach the Word of God. He called cows to die so I could eat them. Amen? But God calls men to preach. He has human instruments, vessels, that's all they are. Tools in his hands, clay in the potter's hand. There is a means that God uses, that's a man, a vessel. Then there is the message that God uses. What is the message? It is the Word of God. That's why Paul was thankful that they received the Word of God as it was the Word of God. Not just the Word of men, but it was the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Well, it's perfect. It's God's Word and it's powerful. That's why Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. He didn't say preach about the Word. He didn't say preach around the Word. He said preach the Word. Open up the Bible. Observe it. Interpret it. Apply it. Deal with the people where they are from the Word of God. Preach the Word. That is God's message. He's only given us one Bible. And men are to preach it. There's the method. The method God uses is preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He commanded men of God to preach the Word. Jesus came preaching. John the Baptist came preaching. Paul and the other apostles were preaching. It's God's man's duty and his responsibility to preach the Word. It's God's method. And then there is the mark that God uses. What is the mark, preacher? The mark God uses is His Son. The image of God's Son is what God intends for every child of God to be. He is, since the day you got saved, since the day you trusted Christ, God is in a process of molding you, making you. He's chipping off a little here. He's sanding a little here. He's rubbing off a little here. He's forming here and there. And what is He doing? He's not trying to get you to look like me. He's not trying to get you to look like what the church wants you to look like. He is trying to mold you and to make you and to hone you. And watch this. He is sanctifying you so that you can be meet for the master's use. He's forming you to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. That's His goal. That's His mark. His mark is not for you to fit into the Baptist creed and what we expect of you and what the church has you to look like. But His goal is for you to be made into the image of His Son. And that's why He's given us His Word. The Holy Ghost takes the Word of God, and as we read it and as we study it and as we hear it preached, and the Word of God is given to us, we have a responsibility to receive it as the Word of God and to allow the Holy Ghost to use it in our lives and to mold us and to make us and to be that which God intends for us to be. What does this involve, preacher? What is involved in the proper reception of God's Word? As Paul was being thankful in verse 13, without ceasing, he said, because they had received the Word of God when they heard it as the truth. It was, in truth, the Word of God. What is involved with a proper reception? Number one, write this down and I'll be quick. Number one, there is an openness. If we're going to receive the Word of God, there must be an openness. Just a few days ago, FedEx came to my door and they had a package. I had no idea what it was. It was a package about that big. I thought my wife had ordered a book or something. I had no idea. And you know what? The only way I found out what it was is I had to open the door, open my hand, and receive what the man gave me. Are you listening? You're not going to get what's in the package until you are open to receive it. There must come a time when we come to the house of God, we don't have our own set agenda. We don't have our own goals. But when we come to the house of God, we're saying, God, prepare my heart, prepare my mind. Help me to receive your word as it is your word in truth. Amen. What is it to receive? It is to take to yourself or to take with yourself, to join one to oneself. To be associated with yourself. When I have something and I'm going to receive it, someone would give me this and I have to receive it. I am taking it with my hand. I'm taking a hold of it. I would take it up. I want that bottle of water. I have to take it up. I have to take hold of it to receive it. How do we take the Word of God? We have been given the Word of God. It has been inspired and preserved and passed along for you and I to have it tonight. It has been presented to us. It has been preached to us. How are we going to receive the Word of God? How are we going to show that we are open to it? We're going to not only open our hand, but we're going to have to open our heart and receive it in order to learn it. I'm going to go to that restaurant, I'm going to enjoy that nice, big, thick, juicy ribeye cooked medium rare with the juices running out. I'm going to partake and I'm going to enjoy it. There's going to have to be an openness. There's going to have to be a point where I pick up my fork and I pick up my knife and I go to cutting and I open my mouth and insert the beef. Are you listening to me? There has to be an openness. There has to be a willingness to receive it. When you come to church, how are you going to receive the Word of God? There has to be an openness. Why do you think Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a hunger. There's a desire. Hey, when you have a hunger and a desire, you're open. You're saying, I want something. Hey, when's the last time you came to church and you didn't come worrying about what Fruity Flapjacks had to say or what Wanda Wigglejaws was going to say, and you wasn't worrying about, hey, listen, what they're going to think about what you're wearing, and you wasn't worrying about what happened on television, and you wasn't worrying about what happened on sports last night, but you came to the house of God and you just prayed up and you said, God, give the man of God something. I need some preaching. I need the Word of God. If it's the Word of God that's going to lead me, and it's the Word of God that's going to guide, God, speak to my heart. Help me to receive what you have for me. Receptive. There must be an openness. And then notice this. This also involves if we would be willing to receive, if we would be open to the Word of God. This involves an outcome. There's an outcome. How many likes outcomes? I like outcomes, right? I like to see the results. I like to know what's going to happen. Notice in verse number 13, he said this. He said, which effectually worketh also in you. That sounds busy, doesn't it? Which effectually worketh also in you. I like that. Yeah, that phrase, the effectually worketh, those words, it means this. That word effectually worketh, those words together come from a word that means to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power. Watch this. To be active, to be efficient. You realize that when God gives you the Word and tells you to receive the Word and you hear the preaching of the Word of God, He's not just trying to bore you to death. He's not just trying to entertain you. He's not just trying to fill your passing moments. He's not just trying to give you something to do on a Wednesday or on a Sunday or on a revival night. When God gives you the Word of God and you hear it or you read it, He's giving it to you so that the Word of God can get in you and it can do a work in your life. It will be active in your life.
life? What does Hebrews 4:13 say? That the word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Right. It's the word of God. He said it effectually worketh in you. Here's the idea that it's effectual, it's fervent. Same word. It's mighty in you. It's doing a work in you. Effectually worketh. I like that, effectually worketh. Word of God, when you get in it, it'll get in you and do a work. And I say this tonight. Where the word of God is welcome, and where the word of God resides, there will always be results. You hear me? Where the word of God is welcomed, where it is received, there will always be results. You say, well, I received the word of God, but it just doesn't do anything for me. That's not the word of God. The Bible says that God's word doesn't return void. The Bible said that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible talks about the word of God. It's a powerful word. When the word of God gets in you, it will make a difference. Hey, listen, it may not be all of a sudden immediate that you go from this to this. It's a process. He's trying to transform us. He's working on our life. He's molding us into the image of His Son. It's a lifelong process. But I promise you, if you'll begin taking the Word of God will be impacting your life. Right. You want to see your marriage change? Get in the Word of God. You want to see your finances change? Get in the Word of God. Listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Hear what God has to say about your marriage. Hear what the Word of God has to say about your service. Hear what the Word of God has to say about you being a servant of God, about what God wants for your life. I'm telling you, when you receive the Word of God and you get into God's Word and you hear it preached and it's put into your life and you begin to intake it, it'll change your life. It'll change you. You may not always come to the altar, but there'll be times you come to the altar. Somebody said when you come to the altar, a walk to the altar may alter your walk. But I'm afraid we're in a point in our churches. We're not much worried about the outcome. We're just satisfied to be counted. We're here. But wait a minute, what has God done in your life lately? Most of us here tonight would profess to be saved. Here's the question. If you've been saved for any length of time, what has God done in your work, in your life lately? What is His word, maybe this week, what has God done in your life this week? What has He put His finger on? You say, well, He don't do anything to me. You're telling me you're the only one that's got it all together? I would tell you, He's put His finger on several areas of my life this week. And if you're in the Word of God, He'll get a hold of you and He'll put His finger on areas in your life on a daily basis. That's what He's talking about, looking into that perfect law of liberty and continue there. What does the Word of God do in your life? Young people, hey, it's a good time to learn as a young person to get in the Word of God. You want to know if you're saved, you get in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's able to bring you to salvation. Mom and daddy, you want to make sure your children are saved. Instill the Word of God in them. Get them under the preaching of the Word of God. Get them in Sunday school. Get them in Wednesday night. Get them in Sunday morning and Sunday night. And revive. Get them where they can get the Word of God. Amen. And teach them how to respond. Teach them how, what to do with the Word of God that's given to them. No man, listen, no man will ever receive God's Word properly and remain the same. Nobody. You cannot receive the Word of God properly as it is the Word of God and go on being just like you've always been. And when you get in God's Word, it'll get in you and it'll do a work in your heart. So there is the openness, and then there is the outcome, what God can do with the Word of God. How does He take me from openness to outcome? How does God take me from me being willing to receive, me being open and wanting to learn and ready to take the Word of God and receive it, to the point of the outcome that it's working in my life effectually? How does he do that? It involves, number three, obedience. Obedience. Look in your verse that we read.
He said, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In you that believe. To receive and to believe requires obedience. What is obeying? What is that? What is believing? Excuse me. Believing is to obey the word of truth. It is to obey the gospel. That is to believe it. What does God command us to do? Believe. And when we believe, we are obeying His command. And so when we learn to receive the word of God, when we learn to obey the word of God, that's when we are believing the word of God. To receive and to believe requires obedience. But obedience is going to require some things. Obedience is going to require some things. And give these to you and we'll go to the house. Obedience will go back to requiring hunger. Obedience requires hunger. What is hunger? Hunger is simply a desire, a craving for God to work and to have His will in my life. If I'm going to obey God's word, I have to have a hunger and a desire for God to do something in my life. And when I get to the point to where I say, God, I want you to have your will and way in my life. And if I'm going to ask Him to do that, I'm hungering, I'm desiring for Him to do that. I have to obey Him when He shows me from His word what He wants me to do in my life. Because His will is not separated from His word. If I want to know God's will, I have to get in God's word. And if I want His will to be done in and through my life, I have to be hungry for His word. And not only that, but obedience requires honesty. Honesty. Here it is. In light of the word of God, where do I stand? When I hear the word preached, when I read the word, here's the question. As I look into the mirror, it's compared to the perfect law of liberty. It's like looking into a mirror. It's like looking into the water. You look in the water, you see the reflection come up off the lake. That's the picture we get of the Word of God. When we look into that mirror and we see what God expects, what do I see? Where am I at? If we're going to get help, we've got to get honest. I've said that many times. And if we're going to receive the word of God and obey it and see the outcome that God can bring forth in our life, we're going to have to get honest. When we look in the mirror, we can't say, oh, that's a spot there, but I'm going to just turn this way. I look good over here. I'm afraid we do that sometimes. We get out of the bed and we come into the bathroom. We come into the bathroom and we look in the mirror and I say, man, there's an old spot there. Let's look over here. This spot looks a lot better. Oh, or, you know, I got that cowlick over here. And my hair is sticking up, but I'll just, what are you going to do, walk around like this all day to everybody? No, if I'm going to get help, if I'm going to fix that spot, I got to look in that mirror and I got to be honest and see, what do I really look like? I hope none of you men wear makeup, but you ladies can probably go along with this. When you look in the mirror, not that you look bad. I would never go there at all. But, hey, when you want to perfect that which is there, you're looking and you're saying, where do I have a blemish? If you don't have a blemish, you don't need no makeup. I told my wife a long time ago, I said, you can wear it if you want to, but you don't need it. You look good the way you are. You could have said amen. But what are you doing? You're looking for something that needs help. Am I right? Don't get mad. The truth is, if we're going to get out, you go to the doctor, right? You go to the doctor. Maybe you're not feeling right, but maybe you feel just fine. You go to the doctor and you need a checkup. You go to the doctor. Do you want that doctor to sit there and tell you everything's okay when he ran a scan and he found a spot that big on your liver? Or do you want him to say, hey, I found a spot. We got to fix it. Doc, just pretend like you didn't see that. We'll let it go 10 more years. How's that going to get you? It's going to hurt you, isn't it, in the long run.
We come to the Word of God and we read it, or we come to the church house and we hear it taught in Sunday school, or we hear the preacher preach, and God gives us the Word. He shows it to us, and if we're hungry and we want to know, we are looking and we are listening and we are ready to receive. But here's the question: are we honest? We want revival. Do we really want revival? We'll find out if we'll get honest. Do we expect to go through life and or who are we fooling? We got it all together. I'm okay. We don't even need preaching anymore, preacher. Let's just go to the house. Really? I need preaching. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm the preacher, and I listen to preaching almost every day of my life. I'm looking for something. I probably drive my wife crazy. She's probably thinking, do I ever get a break? Why, she bought me some headphones. Hey, when I'm mowing my yard, I got headphones. I want to hear some preaching. I need it. It's God's prescribed way. It's the way God has given to us to learn and to speak to us. And He uses preaching. And then the question is, are we going to be honest when He gives us that look in the mirror and He says, whoop, this is you? Or are we going to turn our head and act like, well, I didn't see that. I didn't see it. If I don't see it, nobody will see it, right? So if I go look in the mirror in the morning and my hair's messed up, and if I turn my head and I don't see it, that means nobody's going to see it throughout the day, right? No. The truth of the matter is, there's people sitting in our churches and they're turning their head and don't see it, but everybody around them sees it. And God's trying to show it to you in the Word. Are we honest? And then when God shows it to us, if we'll get honest, if we're going to really get help, here's where it's going to happen. It takes humility. Obedience to the Word of God takes humility. Humility asks this question: am I willing to submit to God's Word or to His will? Am I willing to confess things that need to be confessed? When God puts His finger in my life, am I willing to repent of things that need to be repented of and turn my back on them? Am I willing to humble myself, submit myself to God's Word? Am I willing, when necessary, to allow God to make changes, you know, adjustments in my life? That's what revival is all about. It's not just to come and to hear a preacher preach. It's not just to come and hear good singing. Revival is to bring to life that which was already been alive. It is to take those who are saved, but they've got a little bit of carnality here. They got a little bit of this here. They got some things in their life that don't need to be there. And we hear the preaching and God says, hey, that's you, that's you, that's you. I'm speaking to you. And then we are willing to allow God to adjust, make some changes in our lives. Or it may be that God wants me to make some changes in my own life. It may be, preacher preached the other night about fighting the flesh. It may be some things that I need to put to death. It may be some things that I can change in my life. It may be some time that I'm spending on something else that I could be spending in His Word. It may be some priorities that need to be rearranged. Anything that takes you away from God, God's house, serving God, is an idol. What is it when God puts it in my heart and He speaks to me? Not to just everybody, but to me. And He's fingered around my heart. Am I going to be honest and admit it? And then am I going to be humble enough to submit? Problem is, we've got churches full of people who don't want to hear when they're wrong. All they want to hear about is the good things. They don't want to hear when there needs to be some changes. That's what repentance is. You can't have revival without repentance. What are we doing with what's being delivered? There's a principle in Luke 12. Jesus gives us in Luke 12, 48, the middle part of that verse. He said, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. I'm going to be honest with you, church. That's a sobering thought. I've heard some good preaching. I've heard some good Bible teaching. And Jesus basically said it like this: to whom much is given, much is going to be required. You're not responsible for what you've never heard. But what you have heard, you've got a lot to be responsible for.
What you've heard, I mean, that's been here this week. You've heard enough this week that we're responsible for. Hey, some of you have been in church 20 and 30 years, heard some of the best preaching this side of the Mississippi. Here's the question, what are you going to do with what you've been delivered? You that's sitting in here tonight and you're playing church, you're playing games, you'll tell everybody you're saved, but your life doesn't line up with the Word of God. You have no desire to please God. You want to party it up. You want to do this. You want to live your life your way. There's coming a day of reckoning. There's coming a day. You can fool the preacher, you can fool mama and papa and the deacons, and you can fool your Sunday school teacher, but you're not going to fool God. Boys and girls, God brings you into church and you hear the Word of God. It's not just fairy tales. It's not just kumbaya. This is the real deal. This is the Word of God. What are you going to do with what God has given you? Are we content to sit in church and say, I'm there? Many people buck up and say, I don't like the preacher. It's not the preacher, it's the Word of God. You don't like the preaching. The truth. What are we going to do? Are we going to be hungry? Or are we going to say, God, I want you to do a work in my life. God, I want you to do something. God, I'll be honest tonight. When you speak to my heart, I'm going to admit it. And I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to submit myself. God, I'm going to receive the Word as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you to believe. What are we doing? What are we doing? What God's given us. Are you going to waste the buffet? Are you going to let the food get cold and get thrown out? Or are you going to make good on what you've been given? Can we stand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the pianist is playing softly. Father, in Jesus' name, take the Word of God, use it. Help us tonight. We'll thank you for everything you do. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done this week, stirring in our hearts. Thank you for everything. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Now, God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Have your will and way in the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. It's no time to be stirring around. You mind the Lord.